Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien. Hello, humans. Welcome to the second episode of Level Up Human Extra, where Simon, our presenter, that's me, and producer Rachel try and delve a little bit deeper into the kind of news stories that might be prompting an advancement in our species, shall we say.
Hello.
So, Rich, I should point out Rich is slightly hungover and in need of some kind of upgrade, probably in the form of like a, I don't know, an egg butty or something. Would that do?
That would help. That would be amazing. Yeah, if we could.
Yeah. I'm just trying to explain why you have more husky tones than you did last week.
When I used to work on a radio programme, you could feasibly ask for an egg butty and someone might actually bring you one. But this isn't going to work, is it? Because we're recording this and I'm not going to release it for 2 days.
I would get you an egg butty. I think enough of you for that. I'd be cooking it in your kitchen.
Then the podcast would go quiet for a long time. So,
fair point.
Anyway, yes. So what are we talking about today?
Well, you've brought along a new story this time. So do you want to tell me about it? I know enough because I've seen the press release and it sounds proper sci-fi. So I'm amazed this is actually happening.
Well, I got a press release which says head freezing will become available within a decade. So immediately I sent it to you and was like, what? This is nonsense. Clearly. But no, there's a company called Stem Protect, which is saying it's going to be offering head freezing within a decade so that you can freeze your head for 250 years and have a chance of future resuscitation. And this is obviously fascinating because you and I could record this podcast. We could do this podcast for the next however many years. And then we could actually freeze our heads when we die. And then we could be resuscitated 250 years in the future and see what's actually happened. And then carry on recording the podcast. Would people's subscriptions still be valid? I don't know.
So the question that always comes up with this is, like,
still exist in 250 years? I don't know.
Well, there's plenty of problems beyond that one. And the first one is that you're still dead, right?
So, well, this is the... Right, so the idea is that if you freeze your brain, you retain your intellect and your memories. So they'd have to get your head really quickly and freeze it. And then my question is, 250 years from now, let's assume for a second that it's possible to resuscitate that brain. Does it have memories in it still? Because I don't really understand the hardware in a brain. I'm not sure whether my hard drive that I keep all my computer files on would work in 250 years. Now, with a brain, would it retain the memories?
Well, there's no reason necessarily to think the memory isn't encoded in some shape or form structurally. So if you can keep the tissue and everything fine and in some form of stasis, then we should assume that it's going to work okay. In the same way, like, if you're knocked unconscious, it's not like you've got an instant brain wipe. You know, there can be a gap in consciousness. And you can still have things.
Yes. So if you freeze somebody's head, how would you reckon they're planning to resuscitate them?
No, that I completely don't get.
Because that isn't in the press release, whether they're going to attach your head to another body.
Yeah. That's not the worst of your problems here. I still see the main problem being as you're dead to begin with. And also, they're only able to do this for 250 years. Like, when Walt Disney didn't do this as he was supposed to have. But back then, they were wondering sort of how far would technology be advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're thinking that revival is going to happen in the next 250 years, like, so not only are we going to develop the technology to freeze correctly at this point, but we're going to have something right within that time. Otherwise, this just becomes the head at the back of your freezer next to some loose peas and sweet corn that's just been kicking around. You know, like, this span is, I think... Like, I kind of love these things because they speak of an ultimate optimism that you think, if we give this long enough, we'll eventually be able to revive everybody, pretty much.
Yeah.
And this is something which people have been thinking for much, much longer than people realise. Like, Lenin's tomb in Moscow is the shape it is, that kind of cube thing, because they at the time thought that there was sort of pseudoscience magical qualities to this shape, and they assumed that one day they'd be able to bring Lenin back to continue his communist work.
Right.
And there's a whole ton of scientists, like, as in genuine scientists from 100 years ago, I suppose, who didn't necessarily know things. These Victorians were not au fait with the internet, who thought that the idea of life after death and a continuation of immortality was kind of inevitable. There was a thing called the Immortalization Commission, who looked into things like this. H.G. Wells was, I think, a member mm-hmm. of them.
The Immortalization Committee. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's very, very steampunk.
It speaks to all kinds of optimism. I know that loads of them believed in automatic writing, which isn't something which actually exists. Where you
hang on, what automatic writing? What's automatic writing?
So the idea is that if you have your consciousness go when you're just doodling idly, then a spirit could enter you and continue to write in your handwriting. And there's like reams and reams and reams from these scientists of automatic writing, which shows for a start that they all write like Emily Bronte. You know, all the spirits seem to have been literary Victorian gentlemen in most cases.
Okay, so what that actually is people just zoning out a bit.
And their imagination.
And their imagination takes over. That might actually be a good writing technique.
Yes, it's still nonsense in this case because it wasn't dead spirits. Of course not. But they thought it might be. And they took like pacts out of each other where they said, right, if you die first, you know, contact me. And it made this huge optimism that they thought that all the scientists on the other side, wherever that was, would be continuing their research. So wouldn't it be great to ask Albert Einstein what he's working on now?
What he's worked out recently. Yeah. I would love to do that, actually.
So I'm saying this was this kind of optimism that immortality will come, and not just immortality for those who are alive then, but being able to sort of backdate. I'm all right with it. Like, I suppose I'm generally pro-immortality in all cases, so if we can do something like this, then...
You're an optimist. That's why we do this podcast, I guess. Oh, I found out that there are two types of wasp, apparently, who can make honey last night.
Wasp?
Wasp.
Not bee?
Wasp.
Okay, well,
it was a pub quiz
family.
Question.
Makes sense, yeah.
It was a pub quiz question. There are some wasps that can make honey, true or false? And I confidently said to my table... No, there aren't any wasps that can make honey. If there were, Simon Watt would have told me about them. So you've let me down, man. Because the paper wasp, the paper wasp makes honey.
And paper.
Apparently. presumably.
Sticky, sticky paper. Because usually what happens is people say, what is the point of wasps all the time? To which I say, wasps say, what's the point of you? But
yeah,
I know there's lots that steal honey, but are there any ones that make their own? Like, I wouldn't be surprised. The first thing to get your head around for all that is that ants and bees are wasps.
Hang on, what? Ants and bees are wasps?
Yeah, so the great-great-granddaddy and grandmama of all the ants and all the bees was a wasp. Which is why you do get ants which have got stings like wasps.
Oh.
And so I suppose it's not...
And why you have ants that have wings sometimes?
Yeah, they're mostly royal ants, but there's some ants which have got wings all the time.
Okay.
It's pretty much the same body part. There's a wee bit of controversy at the moment in entomology circles because for a long time we thought beetles were the most common type of life on the planet. And although that's still, you know, the party line from biologists, it could be that there's more wasps out there. There might be more kinds of bees and ants and wasps you put them together. Yeah. Research will tell us eventually.
Hmm.
So it's not surprising, I suppose, that Bergman bees, which are the newer type, can make honey.
Mm-hmm.
That you might find wasps that can make honey. I wonder if there's any ants that can make... There are honeypot ants, which are ants which basically blow up their rear end full of sugary solution.
So they make honey as a weapon? Weaponized honey?
No, it's more like as a reserve. So they can hang upside down like little grapes, and other ants can come and take the syrupy solution from them.
Okay, but you wouldn't want to put it on your toast?
I'd give it a go, I'll be honest. I'd try anything like that.
Oh yeah, I can see, I've just looked them up, I can see a picture of honeypot ants. Yeah, they have enormous abdomens swollen up with honey.
Look, here's I'm a bit confused on this, because I have to be honest, and this is the kind of thing I should really know, is I don't exactly know what honey is. I know what's made from, and I know
it's bee vomit.
Yeah, but what actually is that? Is that just sugar and stuff? I know it's got loads of fructose. Like, what else is in the bee vomit? Like, there aren't carrots, which is breaking the rule for all vomit. But, you know, what is there in it?
What is honey? This is live action Googling we're doing here. That's what this podcast has become now.
And I know they're different because they can come from different... Like, I've seen grey honey, which I think is made from, like, pine sap via bee. Wow, yeah. Paper wasps, yes.
Pub quiz was right.
Its name makes sense. So it's Brathygastra mellificera, and mella pretty much means honey. So, like, mellification is having yourself mummified with honey.
That would be a good way to go. Forget head freezing. I'll be just dropped in a bath full of honey. I'd be quite happy.
Well, people tend to... I don't know. This is one of those sort of things. I don't know how much this is folklore and how much of this is reality, but people would eat their mellified relatives.
What?
So, yeah, you'd eat granddad.
Oh.
Which is never a sentence.
Who would, though? What people are we talking about
here? That might be what Werther's original actually is.
It is your granddad. It's the darkest advert.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Of all time.
I remember when my granddad fed me.
Fed me grandma. In the form of Werther's original. Oh God, this has gone really weird.
There's a whole pile of them actually here, which I've got. I'm looking up mellifica, so that would be, they're all honey. Honey worded. Nectarina camaronia?
That's a tangerine, mate. So bees have honey stomachs, where they ingest and regurgitate the nectar repeatedly until it's partially digested.
Okay.
And then they hydrolyze the sucrose to a mixture of glucose and fructose.
So fructose is it's a pentasugar. It's a sugar which has got 5 carbons in it, and glucose is one that's got 6 carbons in it. So you'll have tasted it if you've ever had. The reason why golden syrup is awesome is because it's 50% sucrose, which is those two bonded together, and 25% glucose and 25% fructose. So it's just 3 sugars. It's pretty much they found a liquid sugar and then dissolved some sugar in it. That is why golden syrup is so awesome.
Nice. And the most macabre packaging ever.
Yeah, I noticed this.
The golden syrup has got a picture of a dead lion on the front of it with a load of bees. And because it's, what is it? It's called out of the, oh, hang on there. Here we are, HuffPost. Why is the lion on Lyle's golden syrup tins dead and being eaten by bees? The best clickbait ever. So Abram Lyle, who's the Lyle off of Tate and Lyle.
Yeah.
You know, Abram. He said he had strong religious beliefs, which is why the tin's famous logo depicts strong man Samson's lion and bees from the Bible's Old Testament, registered as Lyle's trademark. Out of the strong came forth sweetness, as the quote goes, where bees produce honey inside the lion's carcass. Rich syrup pours from the well-loved tin, and the logo and design remain unchanged to this day. So they are trying to say that this is absolutely natural stuff, which has been created by bees.
They're just trying to pretend that carcasses. This is...
I love the idea that Tate and Lyle factory has loads and loads of dead lions in it, just like hanging up. Loads of bee colonies which are in the carcasses of dead lions. This is why there are no lions in the wild anymore, because they're all being made into, they're being used to farm syrup. Have I got the right end of this particular stick?
I'm just wondering, is any of this sue worthy? Can we get in trouble?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying syrup's not a good thing.
Yes, yeah,
I am saying
lions.
They make it in lions, which is incorrect. I retract that statement. They don't make it in lions. I'm sure they make it in massive vats, and it's all fine.
Look, there's all kinds of refinery stuff, because we both went to York Uni,
yep.
Which is
best uni in the world.
All I remember the days when it's closed now. But like, were you there whenever like every Wednesday the entire town smelt of chocolate orange?
Well, no, but I remember. I mean, you can smell York coming a mile off if you come in on the tube train. London centric. Just slap myself.
When you come into
York on the very extended Northern Line, There's a sign on the wall saying York, where the men are hunky and the chocolate's chunky.
That's an actual. There's a
and
sign
that was
that
a Yorkie
that.
Advert that was on like the side of a tunnel as you came into the station or something.
Wow.
And yeah, you got off the train and you could smell the chocolate factory.
Because there's loads of it's got an amazing heritage, all that stuff. And there was a lot of a large Quaker movement associated with most of them, because they were having to make their money independently and weren't allowed in many jobs. So the we have chocolates, and many of our chocolate things is because of Quakers not being allowed into the jobs that they'd have gone into otherwise.
Sorry, I'm really confused.
So Fry, as in Fry's Turkish Delight,
right,
was a Quaker family from York.
Right.
He worked in the same shop as Joseph Rowntree, who's another Quaker.
Okay. Oh.
I think they had a young apprentice Cadbury there at one stage.
Right. And all this happened in York. Rings.
Yeah, and there's, like, even if you go walking around the fields, I remember I used to go walking through the sugar beet fields, tons and tons and tons.
I did not know that.
But it's also right, the Joseph Rowntree Foundation, which was made using a lot of the money from Joseph Rowntree's thing, is a huge advocacy group and research group against poverty and that kind of thing. And a lot of the houses they built, like New Year's Wick, they still have a pear and an apple tree in the grounds because they wanted everybody to be a bit self-sufficient and have vitamins. It's fantastic stories, all this.
Right, what else have we got?
I came across this news story in New Scientist, written by Frank Swin of this parish.
Oh, who was on the Smashfest episode.
Yes, he was. Oh, cool. I love his writing, and this one is particularly cool, I think, because it really fits with our theme of trying to level up the human. Basically, Apple have developed a new sort of way of using their iPhone technology to broadcast directly into the brain. Now, it doesn't work for everybody. It works for people who've got cochlear implants, and cochlear implants are a way of effectively kind of bypassing some of the machinery of the ear to go straight to the sort of circuitry of the brain and get sound transmitting that way. But yeah, that's fantastic. This is another way of enabling us to hear.
You would be walking along and you'd suddenly be able to hear a phone ringing.
In your head.
And you would somehow answer that, and then you would have the phone call.
Yeah.
So you would speak, and
actually, the speaking is a different question.
Absolutely mad.
Yeah, where's the receiver going to be? I suppose you can like transmit things through bone and whatnot. But yeah, you'll be able to hear a phone call that other people can't. You'll be able to listen to music. Basically, anything that you can fire over Bluetooth will be working for this technology.
So you could Bluetooth your music directly into your own brain.
Yeah.
So no need for headphones.
And much less annoying than those people on trains who play it from their phone loudly and directly.
Yeah, right. What are the longer term implications of that then? Is that a good thing?
Well,
are we going to end up fitting people with cochlear implants who don't actually need them for hearing?
So we're talking about like cybersizing, yes. Cyberneticizing ourselves,
yes.
Just for the benefit of this technology. I could see that in the long term. There might be better ways of doing it. I don't know if you need a direct sort of neural interface here. Like, are you going to end up having? Because this is only one step up from those new earbuds. The things which don't have the wire.
Mm.
But
yeah, it's just not. It's not using those. It's beaming directly into your brain. So.
And the other benefit of this kind of tech is that if you do have ears which have no problems and you can hear, in a healthy range, then you could have both. Like, so you could be listening to your music and nodding along to somebody who you find really boring.
But you know how, like, it's annoying, isn't it? Like, people having smartphones and they'll suddenly look at them and start doing things, but at least you can see what they're doing. So this is going to be more like you'll be talking to someone and they'll just look off into the middle distance because their phone is ringing in their brain and you can't hear it.
I suppose.
So we need a kind of holding device to come across as a contact lens, maybe.
What's
so that when you're talking to someone, you're just like, oh, they've gone.
Tech is only ever as good as the people who are using it, I guess.
Yeah, that's
true. And
how
you use it. What have you got coming up, Rich?
Well, tomorrow we've got a very exciting gig at the Croydon Comedy Festival.
When's tomorrow?
Tomorrow is the 26th of October. So we're going to be at the Croydon Comedy Festival at the Spread Eagle Pub in Croydon doing a new show, which has never, ever been done before, by us, stand-up comedy about the Mars mission. It's called Simon and Rachel Pack for Mars, and we've got Gemma Arrowsmith and Samantha Baines joining us to do planetary lols.
Do you know what you're going to talk about?
Well, I'll be talking about the thing that I find fascinating about the Mars mission are the fact that some companies are trying to get people to go on a one-way ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that if they want me to go, they want me to be the sort of person who would say goodbye to all my friends and family and my three kids and my husband.
Yeah.
And set off for Mars. But then I'm just thinking, well, that doesn't make you a very good... That, you know, on the one hand, well done for being intrepid, right? But
yeah.
On the other hand, are you really wanting to populate this spaceship by the sort of psychopaths who will just happily, cheerfully abandon the entire world in search of a new one?
Maybe it's just like the ultimate snub.
Big snub. It really, you know, I mean, it would just put people's noses right out of joint, wouldn't it?
To some house parties where, like, I'm not a good buyer. Like, I find that if I'm in a group of people where there's more than four people, I don't say goodbye. I just leave because I know that
Irish bail. Do you know that?
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
That's an actual Irish...
I think so.
Is this a cultural thing I have? Alone?
Well, no, I do it as well, but I always call it an Irish bail.
Well,
in retrospect.
As soon as you get enough of a grip that
which
you can...
Which sounds horrifically racist.
Yeah.
Can I say that? I don't know.
Are you going to claim I know Simon, it's okay? Is that going to
I don't know. Well, no, I'm hoping that you're going to personally tell me off for it right now.
No, I know that, like, as soon as it gets to the point of procrastination, you know, whenever you've got like people wondering where they're going next, then, you know, to suddenly disappear is kind of the best. And I've been to the odd party where if I could just end up on Mars, that would be an upgrade as far as I'm concerned.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.